The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Because on this day, it is not about the past, it's about the future. We have an obligation, a duty, a responsibility to defend, preserve, and protect our democracy.
We're now, as a nation, battling a threat from within. Is the threat equal or greater than what we faced after 9/11?
That's an interesting question. And there's an oath that we always take, which is to defend and uphold our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We don't compare the two in the oath, but we know they both can exist and we must defend against it.
The Department of Homeland Security was formed in the wake of the September 11th attacks. How has it evolved since then?
And the threat landscape has evolved considerably over the last 20 years. You know, now we are seeing an emerging threat, of course, over the last several years of the domestic violent extremist, the individual here in the United States radicalized to violence by a foreign terrorist ideology, but also an ideology of hate, anti-government sentiment, false narratives propagated on online platforms, even personal grievances. The threat landscape has evolved.
And we have also, I think, been reminded about how important it is to try to deal with extremism of any kind, especially when it uses violence to try to achieve political and ideological goals. So I'm one who thinks that there are lessons still to be learned from what happened to us on 9/11.
There you go. All the Marxist insurrectionists out in full force over the weekend using the 9/11 anniversary as yet another excuse to bash ordinary Americans. Americans, they're the enemy. That's what we learned from the news coverage surrounding the anniversary this past weekend. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio. If you get to our website, however, that's thetrumpet.com, you can get the live video stream and see all the clips with your eyes as well and see the beautiful studio that we have here in Edmond, Oklahoma. That's thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. It takes you right to the page where we offer the stream every weekday morning, 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of the United States. So just we've done programs before on the 9/11 anniversary, just highlighting the difference. Just going back 21 years, I remember us doing one a few years ago where just the point about patriotism, how that in 2001, I mean, the nation rallied around America, black, white, brown, everyone. Who can forget the baseball player, Sammy Sosa? I think it was the day or two after 9/11, whenever they resumed playing baseball. And he takes to the field sprinting with a U.S. flag. He hits a home run. He grabs a flag from the first base coach and runs around the bases with the stars and bars. People had more pride in the United States, in their country. Politicians coming together, singing God Bless America, right at the steps of Congress. Democrats and Republicans together. Listen to this clip from, I think this was either the day that America was attacked in 2001 or just soon after. This was then Senator Hillary Clinton, clip 4.
This was an attack on America. And the President of the United States is our President, and we will support him in whatever steps he deems necessary to take. We can't let these evil acts in any way deter us from, you know, making it clear that the United States is resolute, and we are going to support the President.
That's in reference to George W. Bush, who was the new president of the United States and a Republican. Now, it wouldn't take but a few years after that when George Bush became Hitler. But right there at that moment, there's Hillary Clinton, who obviously would run against Donald Trump later. And you hear about what she says regarding Trump today. Yeah, the Fed should go after him for sure. And then the lesson from 9/11. There she is in the montage, the opening montage we played, talking about how that the lessons really are that we've got to go after extremists right here at home. That would be the Trump supporters. That would be the MAGA Republicans. I went through a verse this morning in epistles class. Just to give it some context, Galatians 5 and verse 14, it says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You can sum up the law of God with one word, love. Agape love, of course, God's love, not the world's definition of love. They've got their definition, God has his. And Mr. Armstrong, like the Apostle Paul, expounded upon that love of God in so many messages and articles, books. Jesus, of course, said in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, that we're to love God above all else, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. Verse 15 continues, it says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." If you bite and devour each other, you can expect mutual destruction. That's what you can expect from this kind of hateful division and strife. Family division. You see what it does to actual physical families. Well, the nation is just a family grown large. And look at the fighting and the bickering and the hatred and the murder. It's all around us. These people don't realize just how much influence Satan has on their thinking. As I say, it wasn't but a few years after that last clip you saw there when these people were going after George W. Bush, of all things. He's just an establishment Republican. We now know for sure. An establishment Republican who was Hitler, and that just was like a drop in the bucket compared to what they would do with Donald John Trump. Listen to this. I think this is from 2015. So this is Joe Scarborough. This is back when, if you remember, when candidate Trump first came down the escalator, I mean, he was on the phone and talking with Scarborough and the round table for quite a while, for a number of months. But then soon after, well, Trump derangement syndrome set in. This is, I think, from 2015, clip 11.
BuzzFeed dug up an old quote from Donald Trump talking about a large-scale terror attack 19 months before 9/11. In his 2000 book, The America We Deserve, Trump wrote, "I really am convinced we're in danger of the sort of terrorist attacks that will make the bombing of the 1993 Trade Center look like little kids playing with firecrackers." Trump also mentioned the mastermind of the attack, writing, quote, "One day, we're told that a shadowy figure with no fixed address named Osama bin Laden is public enemy number one, and U.S. jet fighters lay waste to his camp in Afghanistan. He escapes back under some rock, and a few news cycles later, it's onto a new enemy and a new crisis."
Trump. Wait. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Is this really Trump before 9/11? Have you read this?
It's 2000 in his book.
Are we making this? Somebody, did you make this up, Mika?
Nick.
I did.
Did you make this up?
Yeah, exactly. Nick, tell us it's over, right? Because
will you
wrong
stop?
About everything.
Mika, stop. God.
I don't think it's over.
What's
I
that? What's the rage here? Will you stop picking on him?
No, it's cute. I think it's cute.
Well,
go for it.
Really quickly, though. I mean, so, Willie, that was
2000.
In a book he wrote in the year 2000.
Yeah. Well, it was published in 2000. He could have written in 1999 for all
exactly. We know. He might have been a bit more precious.
So he predicted the attacks from Osama bin Laden.
So that's from 5, 6, 7 years ago. Trump predicting the attack. And of course, if you had eyes to see all through the 1990s, the first attack on the World Trade Center, I think that was in 1993, and then all the other attacks from terrorists on American targets all throughout the Bill Clinton years. And they were preparing, then there toward the end of the 90s, they were preparing for an attack on America, on American soil, at the end of the Clinton years. And then George W. Bush comes into office, and you have 9/11. So Donald Trump was just watching world events in the 1990s. You can go back and look at some of the Trumpet coverage in those early issues of the magazine and see us talking about how that if you don't answer back, I mean, we're placing our trust and our reliance on our military might as it is. We've forsaken God, so we're not trusting God for our defense. But here, all of these attacks and no punishment ever doled out. And then 9/11 happens. And at least there, you did have a show of solidarity and unity. And there was a response coming from the United States, even though it was misguided. Should have gone after the head of the snake and all of that. We've covered those stories before at thetrumpet.com. But there they were talking about Donald Trump and kind of laughing it up, saying, well, he predicted it. And today, look at the way they speak about Donald Trump today. The contempt just oozing out of every fiber of their being. When it got into the Trump-Russia collusion, it's a hoax. But who started that? I mean, the attacks on Trump brought on by the deep state, that was Obama's administrative state. And he had purged, thoroughly purged, the DOJ, the FBI, the DHS, all the alphabet agencies. He had purged them of patriots. He purged the military of patriots. And so when Donald Trump was winning the hearts of Americans, you had Obama's deep, dark state attacking all things Trump, attacking him. And they intensified the attacks when Donald Trump shocked the world and beat Hillary Clinton. And this got to their minds. They swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. Okay, Trump's a Russian agent. It's Russia helped him win the election. This is from Joe Scarborough, or rather from Rolling Stone. It's about Scarborough's relationship with Trump back in 2017. June 2017, it says, as far as talking to Trump, that hasn't happened in some time. They're quoting Scarborough. It says, to say we're disappointed would be a pretty dramatic understatement. We attacked him a lot in the campaign, and it got really, really nasty. And then after he won, we were talking a little bit. But, you know, he gets into office, and the first day he's talking about crowd size. So that really bothered them. Well, they were jealous. Jealous rage. He won. He was popular. And then they, of course, believed all the lies that Obama was working at disseminating from behind the scenes. Again, think of Ephesians 2:2 when you consider all of these really fairly recent events. We're talking about just the past couple of decades. 21 years since 9/11. How many years has it been since Obama came on the scene in 2008? Just 14 years or so. And look at the damage he caused in just 8 years' time and all through the Trump years. And now, these past 2 years with the fake presidency. Just going back to Scarborough for a moment. Listen to the... You want to talk about the devil's hold on the thinking of these people. This was Scarborough from just last week, clip 8.
Jesus never once talked about abortion. Never once. And it was happening back in ancient times. It was happening during his time. Never once mentioned it. And for people perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ down to one issue, it's heresy.
That's him. That doesn't have to do with Trump, obviously. He's talking about abortion there. But he's pointing out the fact that there's all kinds of abortions in the first century, evidently, and that because Jesus didn't talk about abortion, he must have been in favor of it. That's Joe Scarborough religion for you. These people, Satan has a grip on their thinking. And we see evidence of that every single day We see it. Listen to Senator, just to go back to that opening montage, this is Senator Warner of Virginia, here again, using 9/11 as another excuse to go after political enemies. Clip one.
I remember, as most Americans do, where they were on 9/11. I was in the middle of a political campaign, and suddenly the differences with my opponent seemed very small in comparison. And our country came together. And in many ways, we defeated the terrorists because of the resilience of the American public, because of our intelligence community. And we are safer, better prepared. The stunning thing to me is here we are 20 years later, and the attack on the symbol of our democracy was not coming from terrorists, but it came from literally insurgents attacking the Capitol on January 6th.
Can you imagine back in 2001, in the aftermath of the 9/11 attack, can you imagine Democrats going right after their political opponents, using that attack as a cudgel to go against Republicans? But that's where we are today. That's where we are. Listen to Hillary Clinton talking about, well, she's suggesting that the Fed should go after Donald Trump. She knows it'll be a little bit of a sticky situation, but look, he's not above the law. That's Hillary Clinton talking to or lecturing us about just how serious it is to have classified documents. Can't make this up. But here she is going on and on about how there is unity, and Joe Biden is leading the way. This is clip three.
And I give President Biden a lot of credit for trying to continue to reach out to people while still sounding the alarm about the threats to our democracy.
Joe Biden reaching out to people like he did in the devil speech at Philadelphia a while back. Steve Bannon, by the way, he revealed last week that 35, as many as 35 associates of Donald Trump have had their homes raided recently. These people are deranged, for one. They're also, though, lashing out in desperation because they know they've been exposed and they know Donald Trump has the documents. And this is why they're raiding house after house after house. The communists are coming out of the woodwork. This book, I just happened to read this. It's produced by the Worldwide Church of God, so we don't have them in stock. It was written back in 1971. Okay, this is Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God. This one specifically was written by his son. But he said in 1971, and of course America was in the midst of quite a lot of inner turmoil at that time period as well. But it says, remember the times when Americans remembered their own past history with pride? We're going to talk about history here in just a second when we get to the British Empire and how that so many of these talking heads in the media, they're using Queen Elizabeth's death, of all things, to attack Britain's history. But there was a time when we looked on our history with pride. I mean, you talk about tomorrow's news today. This booklet, this little booklet out of print, 50 years old. 50 years ago, God's church was writing this. It says, many young American, let me back up, America's campuses have become hotspots for riot, murder, drug abuse, and centers for the fomenting of violent revolution. This book, this little booklet talks about the communist infiltration of the United States. And it says where it's leading. I mean, the title here is to kill a people. This is how you kill nations. This is how you kill off a family with this kind of bitter, violent division. And there they are out there promoting it. And they're one and the same. The politicians being interviewed and Chuck Todd, as you saw in the montage. They think exactly the same way. The enemy here is the people of the United States. All of this self-hatred that DHS Secretary Mayorkas in the cold open. We have evolved, he said. We have grown to meet the evolving threat. We at the DHS, we've grown to meet the evolving threat. And that threat is right at home. Can you see how thoroughly how thoroughly Barack Obama purged these agencies. The DHS didn't even exist until after 9/11. So it's been around for a little over 20 years, and now it's being used. It's not being used to secure the border. Kamala Harris was asked recently about the 2 million immigrants streaming across the southern border illegally. And in the same discussion, Kamala says the border's secure. And then they move on to the next subject. Everything's fine. Look, use DHS, use the DOJ, use the FBI to go after MAGA Republicans. That's what Joe Biden said in the devil speech. You know, the one with the blood red background. Go after the MAGA Republicans. They are the target. You think about what Mayorkas said in that cold open. My father wrote back in 2016, this is at the Trumpet, August of 2016. He's speaking here of how Obama tried to cover up the Benghazi scandal. And Hillary Clinton, of course, was part of that cover-up. Four Americans murdered because America didn't have the pride in its power to rise in defense because America was on the wrong side there in Libya. The government was responsible, our government, in so many ways. It says here, should it surprise us to see America under such attack today, my father wrote, when the nation's own president won't even defend it? The Obama administration's response to Benghazi was consistent with how the president has repeatedly apologized on behalf of America and acted like our enemy's hatred is justified. It says, in his view, America is the cause of the world's grievances and ills. The United States is the real problem. That's embedded into Obama's thinking. If there's a flare-up anywhere in the world, America is to be blamed. Now you see them taking the Queen's death and making the exact same point. I mean, it's so predictable, these people. They hate their country. If they're in Britain, they hate Britain. If they're in the United States, they hate the United States. What's behind this movement to blot out even the name of Israel? 2 Kings 14, my father said, this is back in 2016, at the same time the Obama administration has undermined America's power abroad, it has amassed power within the nation in the federal government. Well, it certainly has. 50 homes raided? Associates of Donald Trump, supporters of Donald Trump, have had their homes raided just in the past week or so? 50? That's right. It's happening in the United States. My father said, Washington claimed it needs all this information for America's war against terrorism. This is talking about the massive overreach of the NSA, another alphabet agency that Obama put the communists in charge of these agencies. It says here it was expanding the NSA's powers exponentially, using the war on terrorism as the rationale. Yet at the same time, the president gave a speech telling Americans that there is no war on terrorism. The war is against their political enemies. And that's so obviously evident now. This coverage, and a lot of it's being fueled by American journalists. Even some commentators in Europe and the UK can't believe how negative the coverage is of Queen Elizabeth's death. She died last Thursday. And these propagandists in the media, they can't even bite their tongue for 2 seconds before they go on and on about all of these supposed abuses of the British Empire. Even the name. Erase even the name. It's stunning, really. You see some kind of an evil dictator in this world die, and these people will bend over backwards to try to praise them in some form or fashion. And yet they'll put up an image of little frail Queen Elizabeth walking into an event saying, she's the symbol of racism. Queen Elizabeth? Are they serious? That's what they're saying. This is from Eurointelligence. It says, if you compare this to the reaction in the U.S., the contrast could not be starker. Hillary Clinton thought this was a great moment to compare her friend Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, to the Queen. She's taking this opportunity to compare Hillary, or rather to compare Pelosi, to the Queen. It says nothing quite compares to the reaction of one Dr. Uja Anya, a professor at Carnegie Mellon, in a subject called Critical Discourse Studies. She teaches critical discourse studies. She called the monarch a thieving genocide. She was the monarch of a thieving genocidal empire and wished her excruciating pain. This is a high-level academic. Wishing excruciating pain on the queen before she died because, well, she's the monarch of a genocidal empire. Listen to this montage that Sam put together earlier today, clip 10.
And I think, though, we can mourn the queen and not the empire.
Yeah.
Because
sure.
If you really think about what the monarchy was built on, it was built on the backs of black and brown people. She wore a crown with pillaged stones from India and Africa. And now what you're seeing, at least in the black communities that I'm a part of, they want reparations.
Because, I mean, she symbolizes a lot of the racism we faced. So for a lot of us, we're not mourning today.
I credit her for being there at the end of the British Empire and seeing it to its proper death. She didn't forsake the institution that was responsible for colonialism. She didn't forsake her ancestry that was responsible for that sort of thing.
This is somebody who represented white supremacy and colonialism, and as you said, didn't give reparations, didn't give up her wealth, didn't give up her power. She reveled in it. And I'm not sure why I should be sad today.
And I don't need to make a metaphor here. The 105-carat Kohinoor diamond, which sits in one of the three royal consort crowns, is a spoil of war from India. The Commonwealth was a vehicle to preserve Britain's global influence at a time when decolonization was getting more popular around the world. But really, it positioned Britain at the head of a massive school, teaching the former colonists how to behave and how to, in theory, self-govern. Through the lens of history, it's now often seen as patronizing, sometimes racist. Queen Elizabeth was widely respected and admired. But if you're having mixed feelings about the mourning of the Queen and the institution she represented for so many decades, that's valid, and you're not alone.
British colonialism, which she presided over for all these years, had a terrible effect on much of the world. It's something that people revolt from. And I have to say, to your earlier question, why are American news networks dedicating all of this time to Queen Elizabeth's funeral? I think it's a good question. I mean, I think it's something, there's a weakness in the American character that still yearns for that era of hereditary privilege, which
Let's face it, people were in service to this empire. The wealth of this empire was derived on the back of the people of their empire.
On display in the palace.
Right, on display everywhere, and in the crown, and everywhere. So what we're saying is that there is the generation of multicultural and diverse Britons who want this answered, who want to see their monarch finally talk about what it means and what, you know, potentially the idea of reparations, definitely justice, right? Justice.
How do you explain that level of self-hatred? These Marxists in the media, here they go again, and they're going on about reparations. Oh, give money, just hand money out to people, as if the governments of our nations aren't doing enough of that. Why, if you're so offended by the impact of the British Empire, why don't you just undo everything that they established in those colonies? You know, the system of rail, the ports, roads, infrastructure, education, parliamentary democracy. Of course, there were atrocities from time to time in every nation. Put the minerals back in the earth if you're so offended by that diamond on a crown, and let the savages try to extract it. This is the way they think. This is Obama's thinking through and through. You see how it spreads. I mean, it goes back before Obama. This little booklet even brings that out. Quite a few references to communism in this little booklet. Let me just give you a quote. I think it's in my notes actually a little bit later. But you talk about killing off a people. It says here, to kill a people, you must first break their spirit and then give them too much, make their purposes only selfish, personal ones, make life and peace the materialistic goals of an affluent society more urgently important to them than sacrifice for transcendental cause. To kill a people, you must have them greedy, sick with lust, insatiable with desire for orgiastic abandon. You must continually wear down their national pride, their God-given purpose, their deep loyalty to the whole family living within one concept of government, one blessed land they call home. Well, that's what you're seeing in these clips. You're seeing them continually wear down that national pride. Our nations, our history. It's so horrific. The horrors of colonialism, they say. The real target is the nation itself. Or the political opposition. In the case of what's happening in the United States, The Spectator wrote this. It says, comparing the Russian and American royal coverage of the last few days, you'd never guess which was on the UK's side. You want to talk about Russian collusion? Comparing the Russian and American royal coverage of the past few days, you wouldn't know which one is supportive of the UK. Because they both hate empire. They hate the British Empire. Taking the death of Queen Elizabeth as an excuse to bash Britain and its history, its glorious history. It says, whereas Vladimir Putin has praised the late queen and Russian tabloid Pravda has called her the last living titan of the 20th century, some of the transatlantic broadcasters appeared to greet the death of the sovereign as little more than an invitation for some good old-fashioned Brit bashing. How do you explain this? Well, America Under Attack tells you all that you need to know. Here it is. Here it is. I know we've plugged it so many times this past summer, but there you go. And together with this, as I said last week, the U.S. and Britain in prophecy, the toll-free number 1-866-930-3024. This Spectator piece says, take MSNBC, for example, where on Saturday, host Ali Velshi began a special on the Queen's legacy by condemning the royal family. Now, look, there's some criticism that could well be leveled at the royal family, and we talk about it in quite a few of our writings, especially the New Throne of David book, and what's happened internally to that family. And yes, even the Queen has to bear a certain amount of responsibility for the way the children and the grandchildren have turned out. This is a monarchy in decline. There's no getting around that. But it's a nation in decline as well. And when you see the media go after the history, you can see the decline in plain view. They want to destroy, dismantle everything associated with that godly history. When God actually gave the empire to Britain, When God actually gave the superpower status to the United States, that's the target for these Marxist radicals. Destroy even the name, if you can. It says here, he claimed that the Queen represented an institution that had a long and ugly history of brutal colonialism, violence, theft, and slavery. That's reporting on MSNBC this weekend. Like, you can't even get... I told you Friday, I said, hey, there's actually been some fairly positive coverage here in the States regarding the Queen's death. I spoke too soon, evidently. There's always an exception here and there, I suppose. But the tenor and the tone of the coverage this weekend, it's unhinged. And all that happened? A monarch on the throne for 70 years and one who served her people... Leave aside the mistakes in family living, but she did serve and the nation loved her. The nation loved her. But still, we've got to go on the attack. We've got to go on the attack. Listen to this exchange. This is the one spoken of in this article, Velshi, Ali Velshi. Listen to Andrew Roberts. He's the British historian, and he actually pushes back a little bit. And look at how Velshi responds to the historian from Britain, clip five.
Rather, I'm afraid to say, as your introduction was, if we had given so much pain to people throughout history, why was Charles chosen by every single Commonwealth country, many of which are former imperial countries, as the head of the Commonwealth?
We abolished slavery. Hold on a second. Andrew, are you really denying what I just said about British colonialism? Are you really doing that, Andrew? Are you really doing that?
We abolished slavery.
Andrew, this is not a propaganda show. Andrew, I need you to stop. I need you to stop for a second. I need you to stop for a second. Are you really taking issue with the horrors of colonialism, Andrew?
I'm certainly taking issue with your remarks about slavery, which we abolished 32 years before you did, and we didn't have to kill 600,000 people in a civil war over it.
Good for him. Push back. This is not a propaganda show, says the same journalist who stood in front of a burning building in the middle of a riot and said, everything around here is peaceful. It's pretty peaceful. Yeah, the building was going up in flames because of the looters, the rioters, the protesters. And he was telling his CNN audience, mostly peaceful. You hear him there, just trying to shout down anyone that would have a dissenting opinion. Are you really going to try to defend the empire? And Andrew Robbins just made a simple point. If it's so evil, if the monarchy represents so much evil, why are all of these Commonwealth countries embracing Prince Charles? Well, that's a good question. They can't even consider it. Just shout him down. Listen, Andrew. In the January 2022 trumpet, this was earlier this year, we had an article, What Happens When Queen Elizabeth Dies? Tomorrow's News Today. I mean, obviously, it's not like we were projecting or predicting her death in the next few months. She was old. She was going to die fairly soon. She wasn't even in good health back when we wrote this this article for the Trumpet. But look at just how spot on the forecast is. And again, this is because of the sure word of Bible prophecy. This was in your Trumpet magazine in January of this year. If you aren't subscribing to the Trumpet yet, again, the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. Nothing that we offer from our mail processing facility is offered with cost. It's without cost or obligation. Just call our operators today and we'll send you out a free copy of America Under Attack, U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, or a one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine. All of it's been paid for already. This is from January. It says, when the queen is gone, what will remain of the royal reputation? What role will the royal family play in Britain's future? What's going to happen when the queen is gone, we asked back in January. It says, the queen's death could further weaken the dissolve the queen's death could further weaken and dissolve the already fading ties that once formed the greatest empire in history, the British Empire. And you see how the empire comes under attack within 48 hours? All the talking heads in the media, especially here in the United States, shame on them. They don't know their history. They don't know anything. To paraphrase what Ben Rhodes said years ago, they literally know nothing. Listen again to this part of this was in the montage earlier. This is a CNN journalist. I think she comes from Britain originally. Listen to Christine Amanpour, clip six.
Yeah, and look what he said. In the 70 years of her being on the throne, many cultures and many faiths have flourished in these past seven decades. But there is an ongoing, particularly in the wake of Black Lives Matter, particularly in the protests that erupted all over the world after what happened in Minnesota, here as well, in France, in other parts of these nations that had colonial servants, let's face it. People were in service to this empire. The wealth of this empire was derived on the back of the people of their empire.
So Prince Charles, how dare he say anything positive about the empire? And look, he needs to pander to Black Lives Matter, she says. Black Lives Matter, the administration there, by the way, they've all been exposed as crooks, criminals. They've run off with tens of millions of dollars. And there she is, still, they literally know nothing. So biased, so deranged, they have no idea. They have no idea how much of an influence and a hold on their thinking, their reasoning, that the devil has. My father, in that January article, he said when Elizabeth took the throne in 1952, the British Empire was in the early stages of its descent. Mr. Armstrong discusses this in The United States and Britain in Prophecy. But happy for those that wanted a semi-stable world, the United States was ascending to its superpower status following the war, World War II. And so there was a relatively smooth transition from the British Empire over to the United States. These two brother nations that at one time had pride in their power, their history, their traditions. In 1952, when Queen Elizabeth came to power, the British Empire was in the early stages of its descent. Under her rule, it has shrunk from empire to commonwealth to a less and less relevant second-rate power. It says Britain is also far more morally degenerate than it was 70 years ago. This fall will accelerate under the Queen's successor. So there's your tomorrow's News Today statement. That's what we said in January. Now the successor's out making the rounds. And what is Britain like compared to 70 years ago when the Queen first came to the throne? Well, look around. Look at the sickness. Look at the sickness on display coming from the propagandists and the media. Sick from head to toe. It's just sick, sick, sick all over the place. It says here, the Bible foretells the dramatic fall of Britain and America in the end time. It warns that what follows is an extremely dark, violent period, one we already see building in the world today. Can you see it building? It's so obvious, so clear. If you've got eyes to see and ears to hear, you see it building. It's like my father says in the Ezekiel booklet, you look around at this world and you know a huge explosion is coming. Worse than 9/11, worse than the American Civil War, worse than World War II. It says here, people today think nothing of tossing aside an institution that has anchored British life for over 1,000 years. Yes, and it's anchored a way of life for a lot of those colonies for centuries. But people today think nothing. They think nothing of just tossing it all aside. Tossing aside all of that history. A history that goes back over 1,000 years, really? The only atrocities committed around the world these past, what, 5, 6, 7 centuries has been committed by... You listen to these people who literally know nothing, and you would think that the only people on earth guilty of evil is the United States and Britain. And the thing of it is, that too is prophesied. That's a sickness. To kill a people, to murder a nation from within, to die by suicide, as Lincoln said. This is what we're seeing. Now here's King Charles III. He's on the throne. And by the way, he personally met with Herbert Armstrong 3 times. Three times there's prophecies that talk about God's church having to deliver a warning message, even to the British monarchy. Again, there is a strong message that needs to be delivered to the monarchy, to Britain today. But it's not that they should go get counsel from Black Lives Matter. It's look at the empire. Look at what you've lost. Look at where you are morally compared to just 70 years ago. Look at the sins. Look at the self-hatred. Look at the sickness. Pretty amazing. Barack Obama, as we've said before, he's had a hand in dividing the British royal family. He's given some counsel to Harry and Meghan. Look at what's happened to that family just in the past 5 years. You talk about a change in thinking, a dramatic change in thinking. I can remember when we were over at Edstone, living there for 6 years, and this glorious, glorious Saturday afternoon when Harry and Meghan got married. Oh, it just seemed perfect. And look at what happened within just a couple years of that glorious marriage. It makes you think about what Herbert Armstrong was saying back in 1981, I think it was, after Charles and Diana got married. Tomorrow's news today. Boy, this is a good time to really be immersed into the United States and Britain in prophecy. Because our nations, they are falling fast. That's a pretty accurate forecast in the Trumpet magazine from earlier this year. This is from the New Statesman on the Queen's death. It says here, yet for the duration of her reign, as long as it proved to be, it says further on, it would remain a human link with that old imperial Britain. See, it's kind of like Queen Elizabeth with this long reign of 70 years that she was, as I gave to you in another quote, the British Empire was in beginning its descent right around the time that Queen Elizabeth came to power. And so in a lot of ways, she's a link between the British Empire and Little England. It says here, the original global Britain and the virtues and the principles real and imagined of that country and its empire, her death is a rupture, a breaking of that final living connection with a reality that is simultaneously long gone and yet still defining of Britain today and the uncertainties of its future in the world. It says those uncertainties will doubtless assume new acuity on the country as the country comes to terms with the end of the second Elizabethan age and what lies beyond. See that connection to its past? It's been ruptured. And when you see the kind of news coverage of her death, particularly here in the United States, you're seeing the rupture. These Marxists in the media, they're leading the way, driving a wedge between Great Britain and Little Britain today, Little England today. This is something that you can't explain rationally unless you understand that there is a real spirit world. I've got a couple of emails. Maybe I could just make a comment on some of the coverage over the weekend that was overshadowed by the 9/11 anniversary and again, the Queen's death. The news coming out of Ukraine that Russia has been driven back and video of Ukrainians celebrating and so on. And of course, many in the media jumping to conclusions saying that this is the end for Vladimir Putin and his reign, et cetera. This is from the Telegraph. It says, by the time you read this article, further on, it says, most likely the last 72 hours of warfare in Ukraine are going to be studied by generations of future military officers and historians. It says, in summary, the Ukrainian armed forces have retaken over 2,500 square kilometers of Russian-occupied Ukraine. So a massive shift in the ebb and flow of that conflict, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that later this week on the Trumpet Hour when Richard Palmer, our correspondent in the UK, weighs in. A couple of emails that we can conclude with here today as I shift forward in some of my notes. This says, Mr. Andrew Locher's show was fantastic, providing a great expose on the dramatic and worsening energy crisis, both at home and abroad, particularly in Europe. It says, as a guest host, he always brings insight and depth to an important and pressing issue, reflecting God's perspective on the matter. That's regarding the program, I believe, from last Wednesday when we were traveling back from the UK. Another one here says, I just finished viewing the newest presentation on the Trumpet Daily concerning a tribute to Queen Elizabeth. What a beautiful tribute, and I must say, an emotionally filled broadcast. I can remember watching the broadcast of her coronation on television during the 1950s. She certainly set a good example throughout her life of what the motto, I serve, means. We all need to develop an attitude of outgoing concern for others, just like we read in Galatians chapter 5. We all need to develop an attitude of outgoing concern for others, an attitude of service in our daily lives versus one of serving ourselves. It says, thank you so much for putting together this special broadcast, and may God continue to bless you as you proclaim the truth as to what is really happening in the world in the light of Bible prophecy. That comes from Minnesota. This one here says, thank you, Mr. Flurry, for your tasteful, respectful, and gracious presentation, tying in Queen Elizabeth's royal reign and death with the present sorry demise of our nations today. See, this is really the lesson that we need to be concentrating on at the moment. Okay, so this is a significant event for Britain, for the royal family. Why not pause for a moment and think about why Britain lost everything? Lost everything that it had. These propagandists in the media, they could care less about any other empire and any other acquisitions of an evil dictator, wherever he might be or she might be around the world. But it's just all things British. That's what we've got to go after. Or all things United States, Ephraim and Manasseh. That tells you right there. I mean, that's like proof that what Mr. Armstrong was inspired to write here was the truth. Satan's not targeting any other nations. He's not trying to blot out any other nations. It's just the United States and Britain. The reaction, as I say, coming from these talking heads, this is why it's so predictable. It says here, man is so completely filled with his own worthless nothingness, thinking he is something. May that great day soon come when we will all see him, God, Christ, as he is. We are the beginning of the creation of God. Another one here says here, once again, your program hits the nail on the head, and with insightful and in-depth reporting on the news of the day. It says, Bill Barr really turned out to be such a tremendous disappointment, but thank you for getting that message to us. It says, as usual, Sam Livingston did a great job. It's so refreshing to see the young people in the church developing as they are. And with Mr. Livingston being the youngest of the presenters on such a world-class program, it just shows how doing things God's way really works. It says, Sam is articulate and natural. He truly is a real asset to your program. And then the closing remark is, sincerely, I am Sam's dad. Is that really from your dad? Do you know? He does not know. So we will have to, I'll have to send Sam the email address from this particular viewer to see if it actually is Sam's dad. But that actually is the way the email was signed. Pretty funny. It says here, honor and respect to the Queen. Another one writes, yes, it is a different world today and not a better one. Disney Company is using cartoon characters portraying queer and gay individuals to push the LGBTQ lifestyle to children 5 and under. It says, Walt Disney would never approve of such evil. Yeah, what would he think? Go back to the beginning of Walt Disney's life, to say nothing of the beginning of Queen Elizabeth's reign in 1952. And why? Why such dramatic change for the worse? Well, all of it is prophesied. Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what Jesus said our nations would descend into in these last days, just before the spectacular return of Jesus Christ to this earth. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Send us some feedback so that we can read your email on the air. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.